Dear Father, with one heart, we're here to look to you. We hope and we do believe that you will bless all the saints and you would also speak to us through the Holy Spirit so that we all have ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches. Thank and praise you. And we do give this fellowship meeting to you. Amen. Thank the Lord. I'm very happy to be able to be here this time. I haven't seen you all for a long time. So I was late coming up here because I wanted to greet and see all the brothers and sisters. Seeing you is more important than this conference. I'm truly very happy to be able to see all the saints. Amen. We sang this song just now. I think we all have been singing this song for many years already. Brother Lin, right? We all are very familiar with this song. I sang this song in 1968 in Los Angeles. That's when I sang the song. Everybody likes to sing this song. But today, when we sing this, we're very happy, right? All right, Brother Sandy is singing with vigor. It's like a revival. But for so many years, I have not seen too many with a transformation of this life. Do you agree with me, Brother Lin? Yes, Brother Lin says yes. When we sing, we're all very happy. It's easy to sing hymns. But in your daily living, for the Lord to be doing the work of transformation in you, it's easy to read the Bible. It's also easy to understand the Bible. But all those things cannot transform your person. You can examine your own lives. We've been Christians for many years. Is there any transformation? True, we became older. Look at my hair turning gray. But that's the outward transformation. How about the inward transformation? Dougal says he also got older. He said he just got older. But is there a constant inward renewal? Are you more like Christ? Are you more conformed to the image of the firstborn son? We have all been Christians for so many years, and we've also been in the church for so many years. Have Has the Lord done the work of transformation in us? It's easy to believe in the Lord. For you to preach the gospel, people receive the Lord. And they're born again. Are they born again? Yes. Do they have life? They do have the life. When the Holy Spirit enters into you, how can you be without life? But is this life being manifested in you daily? This is a big problem. Life has been given to you freely. Of course, you believed in the Lord. Your sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit entered into you. Of course, you're born again. It's easy to get eternal life. We all know about John 3:16. We're all familiar with this verse. He who believes in the Lord will not perish, but have eternal life. Did you get eternal life? Yes. So what if you have received eternal life? Is there change in you? You say a little bit, but just a little bit. If your child is born, your wife gave birth to a child. Each year, the child is just this big without any change. Tell me, would that be good? No good. Now, how about our Heavenly Father? He has so many children. The church is the house of the living God. This is what is mentioned in 1 Timothy 3 when Paul wrote to Timothy. But we who are in the house of God, how should we live? Is it that you live your life and I live mine? You have your own opinions, you have your own viewpoints, and I have mine. We're just fighting with one another. Cannot be in one accord. We all say we're standing on the ground of oneness. Sandy is laughing over there. Are we fighting with one another on the ground of oneness? Tell me, is that a good thing? I have seen this also. I've been serving the Lord close to 60 years. I've seen too much. Besides, it's not those who do not know the Bible that they're fighting with one another. It's those who know the Bible. Besides, they are the preachers. And what should we do? You say there's no life? Yes, there is life. But there's also the flesh. There's also our self. The problem is not that we have life or not. The problem is like what is mentioned in Galatians 5. Are you living by the Spirit in you, or are you living by the flesh? You say, oh, for this point, you have to leave it up to God. God has to do it. No, no. Are you willing to live according to this Holy Spirit in your spirit? Or do you want to live according to your flesh? You have to make this decision every single day. Do you want to quench the feeling of the Holy Spirit and do what you yourself want to do? Or do you want to obey the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit says, stop. Don't talk so much. Leave it. Are you willing to do so? Are we willing to do so? Between you and your wife at home, the wife says one little thing and you will explode. Is that the manifestation of the eternal life? That is the manifestation of the flesh. It's your own expression, your own manifestation. So if you just have the life, but you do not have the manifestation of this life, it's useless, right? We all can testify to this. That's why the Gospel of John is not sufficient. We still need the first epistle of John. First John is not talking about believing in the Lord Jesus and receiving this eternal life. You believe, so do I. You have life, so do I. Right? Surasak, do you have life? Yes. Of course, I believe you have life. But in our daily living, is the life of God being expressed through us daily? Is there transformation in our mind? How about our will? Do I do what I myself want to do? Or is it like Romans chapter 7? What I should do, I do not. And what I should not do, I go ahead and do it. The Lord says, do not argue, leave it. Don't fight. Are you willing to do so? If you are one who lives according to the inner life, you would drop it. It is not an easy thing. You still have a choice. In Matthew chapter 16, the Lord said, I will build my church. Don't you want to build a church? In Singapore, don't you want to build a church? For how many years have you been building? Many years. You can't even remember how long it has been. Oh, I've known Brother Chen Reifu for many years. Do not think it is easy to build the house of God, to build the church. You saw the vision, and the Lord Jesus says, blessed are you. You've seen the vision. You're blessed. But the Lord said, I have to go to Jerusalem. To do what in Jerusalem? To be the king? Because he's a Messiah. Messiah is a king. For his sake. The Lord Jesus said that you're coming again. When are you going to restore the nation of Israel? Of course, you think that the king is coming. He wants to be the king. But they have forgotten Zechariah chapter 9. The first time when he came, although he was the king, he lowered himself. He came to die for us on the cross. So when he came the first time, he didn't come to the king. But when he comes the second time, he's going to be the king. He came to reign. He is coming to reign. So the Lord said he was going to go to Jerusalem to do what? To be king? No. Brother Vera, what is he going to go do? To suffer. Are you willing to suffer? Truly so? So when brothers and sisters criticize you and you're not happy, when they offend you, would you be happy? You'll say, thank the Lord, I have an opportunity to suffer. You're suffering for you're suffering in yourself. You're very angry inside. You're not only suffering, you have to be nailed to the cross. Do not forget that in 1 Peter, the Lord Jesus said, he suffered for us in the flesh, not only to save us, but to give us an example. So that we would follow in his footsteps. Really say, oh, thank and praise the Lord, he died for me. But we have forgotten, he died on the cross for our sake in order to leave us an example. Are you willing to follow his example? Are you willing to learn from his example? Are you? I think that many are not willing to do so. Many are not willing. Paul did not just say, oh, he died on the cross on my behalf. But in Galatians chapter 2, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. He was crucified, but you are still very much alive. The first time the Lord Jesus came, he did not want to be the king, yet you want to be the king. I often say that there's no position in the church. As an elder, you are a servant. You have to give a good example to the flock. What kind of example do we give? Brother? I haven't been here for many years. You're still here. What example have you seen? You don't have to answer this question. I'm just asking you and reminding you. The example I saw for 60 years is they're fighting after fighting. If your perspective, your opinion is different, then you just leave. If you don't like it, you leave. Or we compromise. Tell me, is our Lord Jesus like that? He said, yea is yea and nay is nay. It's not yea and nay. You don't agree with me, but it's okay. We can compromise with each other. So we compromise. It's just, okay, I'll receive you and you receive me. We are yes and no. It's a yay and nay compromise. Say, tell me, is this kind of oneness? Is this oneness? Yet we're all like this. We are all like this. So in order to live this life out, it's not easy. Besides, the Lord's life in us has a goal. It's not just that we have the life, we're living, that's all. I'm living well, and that's fine, and I don't care how the others are. This eternal life has a glorious goal. As a man, you do have a goal in life, right? You cannot just live on this earth. What are you doing here? Oh, I'm just living. Is it like this? Of course not. As a man living on this earth, you do have a goal, right? Now tell me, how about the eternal divine life that God has given us, that is within us? Does it not have a goal? What is it there for? Will you go to Africa to preach a gospel? Let me tell you, it's easy to preach a gospel. But building is not easy. It's not easy at all. So may the Lord help us not only to understand his word, that the Lord would bring us into the reality of this life in his word. In the early days, the disciples knew the Lord not because they heard a message and understood it. So what if you understood it? We all know one brother who knows to speak very, very well. And he wrote so many books. Now I'm afraid of books and I'm afraid of writing books. There are too many books. God only gave us one book. And we give the saints 1,000 books. Brother Kihu, how many books have you read? I have never read a book that is better than the Bible. When you read the Bible, because it's a living word, so the more you read, the more you see. When you read books written by man, you are limited to see what this man has seen. But when you read the Bible, you will see much more. So John tells us, it's a word of life. It's living. It's not the doctrine of life. You may understand a lot of teachings, but they're just doctrines. But it's not the word of life. There is a breath of God in the word of God. There's a breath of God that's blown out, that's breathed out. For man's word, after you listen, okay, I understood. And what did you understand? After you understood it, can you live it out? You may understand the teaching, but to really live it out is a different matter. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 5? He said, you search the scriptures. Do you like to search the scriptures? Yes. I used to love to search the scriptures too before. That's why I had a lot of reference books. Now it's much easier today. Oh, you've got the internet. You can do your research right there. All references, all kinds of references. Right, brother. Do you like to look for reference? So the Lord Jesus said to them, yes, the scriptures speak of me. But in order to gain life, you have to go to him. You search the scriptures, yet you will not come to me to get life. He alone is life. It's very possible that the Bible is just the letter to us. You understand this and you go back to the original text. You go to the Greek, you go to the Hebrew. And what did this man say? What did Darby say? And what did Watchman Nee say? And what did this man say? In the end, what are you going to choose? What are you going to choose in the end? Sorry. Sometimes they forgot he has an interpreter right there. That is why, after reading a lot, there's no life. Then what? If there's life, after you eat of this life, you would be able to live this life out. We have the heavenly life. So it's very easy for me to live out this heavenly life. It's easy to believe in Christ. But to follow the Lamb is not an easy thing. That is why the Lord Jesus said, if any man wants to follow me, to follow. You have to read the Bible, right? Brother, what did the Lord Jesus say? To deny oneself. You have to deny yourself. Do you often deny yourself? No? That sister over there is smiling. We like to follow this person and we like to follow this that other person, yet we do not follow the Lamb. Do you want to follow the Lamb? Revelation chapter 14 says, these are the first fruits. These are they who follow the Lamb, whithersoever the Lamb goes. Are you following him? If you want to follow him, you have to deny yourself. Have to deny yourself. You have to consider, set your mind on God's matters. And not to do what your own desire wants you to do. It is not simple at all. So we've read 1 John. It's not talking about life. It's concerning the manifestation of this life. If this life is not manifested, although you have it, yet it is not manifested, it is just locked up in you. It's easy to give a message. But to express, to manifest this life is not easy. It's a totally different matter. So 1 John speaks of the manifestation of life. It's not just receiving this life. You say you're born again. You're born of God. And John says, how do you know that you're born of God? You say with your mouth that you're born of God. It's easy to say that, right? But do you love the brethren? Or do you argue or fight with the brethren? Or with your wife? And you love yourself? Do you love your wife or do you love yourself? He who does not love the brethren is still in death. If you hate the brethren, you're still in death. Now tell me, is this person not born again? Is he not saved? Do not think that all those people who are
saved are living in the light. That is why the first epistle of John is very important. It's not talking about teachings. He wants to prove your life. How do you manifest this life? That is why John said too much. John also said, wants to prove who is the son of the devil and who is the son of God. When I read this verse, then I thought of John chapter 8. The scribes and the Pharisees, the high priests, they all said, we're the sons of the seed of Abraham. Abraham is our father. Did they not believe in God? How did the Lord Jesus answer them? Sandeep, help me. Your father is who? You say the father of those people is the devil. Do you dare to say such a thing? Do you dare to say such a thing? But many times what we express is our flesh. There's a lot of noise, a lot of fighting. What are we expressing? Are we expressing the sin that is in the flesh, or are we expressing the life in our spirit? So, does it not say it clearly in the book of Galatians? Concerning the flesh, there's a long list.
But sin is in our flesh. Do not think that we Christians do not have sin. We do not think that we Christians do not have flesh. Is it your life? It's the life of the devil that came into our flesh. It's not simple at all. We, the children of God, should be expressing the life of our Father, our Heavenly Father. This requires your cooperation. We need to practice, exercise, to reject, to deny ourselves. And that we're willing to pick up our cross and bear our cross, to follow the Lamb. It's only then that we would have the manifestation of this life. Otherwise, it's all a bunch of teachings. Everyone understands the teachings. So what if you understand? If you understand and yet you do not practice, this time when I was in South Korea, and I had some fellowship with the brothers and sisters there, one brother asked a question. A very simple question. In James chapter 1, it says, do not be a hearer, but you have to be a doer of the word. And he asked me, How do I experience that? I have no answer. If you want to do, then you do it. How can I what explanation can I give you? If you don't want it, you don't want it. If you know and yet you do not do it, it's your own problem. We have a lot of knowledge. How many years have you been listening, brother? No. How much have you listened? And how much have you lived this word? It seems that James also said, I think it was in chapter 3, I can't remember too clearly. I'm getting old. I don't have a clear recollection. But you all, do not be a teacher. Do not be a pastor. Do not be a preacher. We all like to preach or give messages. Do you? Oh, I do, says Daniel. Thank the Lord, he's very honest. James says, do not like to be a teacher. Because those who love to teach would receive a heavier punishment, receive more stripes. Because you teach others to do it, and yet you yourself don't do it. Just like what Paul said in the book of Romans, he spoke to the Jews. God entrusted the law to you, yet you do not abide by the law. Those who know yet do not do it, it's still not as bad, but you are a teacher. Isn't it this like what the Lord said in Luke chapter 12? He who knows the will of the master and does not do it, he will receive more stripes than those who did not know the will of the master. Do you not think that I like to preach? I can't help it. I am forced to do so, in a sense. I came here to see you all. I don't like to speak so much, right? The brothers in Singapore. I don't go anymore. It's not that I have nothing to do. You hear the word, yet you do not do it. Equals, you're not listening. So you all come here to hear the word. And then what? When you go home, you do not practice it. You do not do it by the Holy Spirit that indwells you. Through this eternal life that is in you, you need to cooperate with it. You have to cooperate with this life daily, not occasionally, once in a while. If you feel like it, you do it. If you don't feel like it, you don't do it. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Otherwise, Christ lives in you, yet he lives in you in vain. So if you want to read the first epistle of John, you have to touch John's burden here. Then you need to ask. How did it happen that John has such experience? Because what they learned, they did not learn it from the books, but they learned it through being together with the Lord Jesus. He was together with the Lord Jesus the whole day, listening to the Lord, seeing how the Lord lived and did things. They did not just watch the Lord from afar, but they watched him very closely. They could touch him. That's life. If you only read the Bible and you do not hear his speaking, and you do not look at him, and you do not say, oh, the Lord Jesus is actually like this. Being with him, being together with him. This is not from listening to messages. Those who listen to the Lord's preaching all ran away. There were tens of thousands. But John, especially John, he was the closest, most intimate with the Lord Jesus. He had a special relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now let me ask you. You've been reading the Bible for so many years. You and I, and we all. How intimate is our relationship with our Lord? How is your fellowship with the Father and with the Lord Jesus every day? Do you ask him concerning all the matters each day? In John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing, right? I'm very capable. Apart from him, I can still do a lot of things. We're all very capable, aren't you? Brother Delma, you're very capable, right? He said he's not capable. Actually, in fact, we all are very capable. Excuse me. Without him, we can still do many, many things. Without him, we're not just doing bad things, but we're working for the Lord. Because we are not working through this life, you see. No, that's. This is what the Lord Jesus said in chapter 7. He said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens. I say, Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord, did we not go preach a gospel for you everywhere? And we preached. And we did a lot of good works. We even cast out demons. We did a lot of good works in your name. Tell me, they couldn't even cast out demons. Isn't that great? What did the Lord Jesus say? I do not know you. Don't you think that the Lord said too heavy a word? Lord, I've been serving you for 60 years. One day when the Lord sees you and me, the Lord says, who are you? Oh, I'm the elder of a certain church. Didn't you know about that? Don't you remember the five foolish virgins? In the end, they came back and knocked on the door. The Lord Jesus said, I do not know you. So serving the Lord is not a simple matter. Truly, it is not so. If I've worked in a company, if you worked in a company and you do your own thing there, tell me, would that company still hire you? If you were the boss and I worked in your company and I do my own thing, I don't ask the boss before I do anything, and you would say, very, very good. Oh, he's very free. Well, which is it? Fire him. Lay off. If man would do this, how about the Almighty God, the righteous, the holy, and glorious God? When he comes, what would happen? Even Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that he was in fear. We all are very happy and say, oh, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming. But judgment is coming. You're not afraid today. But in that day, when the time comes, you have to give an account. What kind of an account are you going to give? That is why we have to remember the last verse in Hebrews chapter 12. Please read that. Let's read that all together. Hebrews chapter 12, the last verse, verse 29. Hebrews chapter 12, and the last verse. Let's read verses 28 and 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. We'll read once in Chinese together.
到神所喜悦的，虔诚敬畏的心是不生，因为我们的神乃是烈火。
He's a consuming fire. Of course, God is love. Yet God is also a consuming fire. You cannot be loose in serving God. But we're very loose. We're used to being loose. You serve according to your own opinion and your own perspective. And I do it according to my own perspective. Each one does his thing. You do your thing and I do my thing. This is the situation today. Because we do not fear God. God's kingdom is not loose. It would become lawless if each one could do his own thing. Today in the US, it's a big mess. The Chinese say, a nation has its laws, and a household has its own laws also. Brother Dehua, if I stay at your house and I do things in a loose way, what would happen? You would kick me out. You would tell, John, the door is right there. If I don't want to get out through the door, you might open the window to throw me out. Our God is also a consuming fire. You may not feel it today. Because he loves us and he also gives us the opportunity to repent. Yet, if we do not repent, judgment is coming. There will be judgment. When he comes, there will be judgment. You have to give an account. That is why Paul said, we have to do our best to do things that are acceptable to God. Just as it says here, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The Chinese even says that we should be thankful and serve God acceptably. So we have to ask of him. He is a living God. He is a speaking God. He does not remain silent. You may ask and you pray and pray and pray and pray, and yet he does not speak to you. If your child has a question for you and you just remain silent, or you say, "Why are you asking me?" Would you say that? No. How about our God, our Heavenly Father? You may be asking and asking. Many people say, "I didn't hear him." You know why? Because there's a problem with our ear. Because we're deaf. We cannot hear. We're not used to hearing him. Everyone likes to listen to sermons, to messages. That's enough. You hear a message and you go home. That's why we need 1 John. We come to the Word of God. Not just to understand this and understand that. You have to come and touch the Lord. That is why in the outline, we wrote here. Let's take a look at the outline for a minute. That's good enough. Roman numeral one, the word of eternal life. To be real in our experience, this is to hear, see, behold, and handle it. Did John say it's the words of this life? I really appreciate what John said here. If I were to write it, we would say, what we have seen with our eyes, we've looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But you have to realize what they long for is not this physical person that they could see and touch, but they... what they had desired for was the words of life that was spoken from the Lord Jesus. You know, the Lord spoke and many people ran away, and the Lord asked them, why are you not going away? And what did they say? Oh, you are the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the Christ. You're the Messiah. Why should we be running away? Did he say that? No. He said, where should we go? You have the words of eternal life. That is why the Lord's, God's word, the Bible, is not that simple. It depends on your attitude and how you read it. If you just want to understand the Bible, do you just want to understand the Bible, or do you want to experience the Lord, to be one who lives out the Lord? That is why I think John spoke in John 17, is that eternal life is to know him and he who sent me. Know me and him who sent me. That is life. Time's up. Amen. Let's have some prayer.